and also really enjoy the time of worshiping together with the saints here in this place. And I bring greetings to you from my assembly back in Bahrain, that is Believers Brethren Assembly Majlis. So I brother mentioned I'm there for the past 4 decades. God is using Bahrain and the assembly for various ministries in local areas as well as outside Bahrain. I can see some of the familiar faces here, and I don't want to mention everyone. I remember Brother Alexander Kurian introducing me to his father while he was admitted for an eye surgery at Angamali 3 years before, I think 42 or 43 years before, right? Okay. I first visited Dallas in 2020 in connection with the wedding of my son, Aaron. And that was a time of COVID. And it was a very tough time. I couldn't travel much places. I couldn't attend assemblies then because the worship was restricted. And that was a time we all had a real hurt, searching in moments. And I remember giving an assignment to my Sunday school students and asked them, what did you learn from this corona period? And they had wonderful answers. And they shared me, they understood the value of fellowship or assembly gathering. And before, they was taking it for granted. And every Sunday we gather, Tuesday prayer meeting, Thursday for the Bible study, then the Sunday school meetings and so on. And it was very casual and regular things for them. And when it all stopped, they understood the value of assembly gathering. And then they said again, and they understood the value of families. And, you know, because of the corona problem, they couldn't go out. They had to stay within the walls. And they understood the value of family. How important the father, mother, and the sisters. And they learned to live together. And they respected and they served each other. And also they understood the time, the value. Because, you know, there's so many newses, sad newses, were coming from all corners of the world. And they understood how grateful we should be for each and every moment God is giving to us. I think we all learned the same lesson in our life as well. And also, they understood one more thing, the sovereignty of God. Because the science were trying their best, the doctors were trying their best, but they could not control the situation. Then they realized and look up, and they said, there is a God who controls every situation. Our God is a sovereign God, and how thankful we should be. We also are in different situations. I don't know what kind of lessons you have learned in your life when you pass through these tough times in your life. And God allows us many times to pass through this kind of difficult times. Tough times he allows to bring some important lessons to us. I just want to start with one verse from Isaiah chapter 30 verse 20. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 20. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 20 goes like this. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, let your teachers will not be moved into corner. But your eye shall see your teacher. Verse 21. Your eye shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Here we see our God as a teacher. If he is a teacher, who are we? Students. If a teacher and a students are then in a room, what do we call? School or a class. When we have problem or when we have adversities in life, we are entering into the school of God. Where God is the teacher and we are simply the students. And what the teacher does in the school? He trains the students. He teaches them new lessons every day, giving them new assignments. At the end of the day, they all will pass with distinction. So that is the plan of God. When God allows, that we read that when God gives something to you, as we read here, bread of adversity or water of affliction, God has a purpose to teach you a new lesson. So don't waste your sorrows. Don't waste your pain. Don't waste your trouble and try to get some lessons from God. God, what are you trying to teach me through this?
to learn this lesson, you are a successful student. If not, you have to continue in the same class until you learn the lesson. He will not promote you until you learn the lesson. So God is a teacher. How lovingly and carefully He teaching every member in our assembly. He teach lessons to individuals, to the families, as well as to the assemblies sometimes. When we have this kind of difficulties in our life, we must remember God is a teacher. And we are in the school of God. We should not waste a single moment. And when you the death happened in during the corona time, they were all asking, why are they taken away? But the real question what we need to ask is not that, and why are we left behind? God has taken, they are in a better place, but why God has left us behind? Why are we here still? That is what we need to think and need to understand. I just want to bring a verse from the book of Exodus, where Moses, God is speaking through Moses to the king Pharaoh there. Exodus chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Exodus chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Exodus 9, chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Goes like this. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, that is pandemic, then you would have been cut off from this earth. See verse 16. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up. Notice there are two purposes mentioned there. That number one, I may show my power in you. And my name may be declared in all the earth. So this is the plan of God. Why they were not taken away? Why were they left behind? God very clearly says to show the power in you. To show the power in a family life. Also the power in the life, the assembly life. So God wants to show His power, who He is, through this kind of situations. That's why we are here in this world. Brothers and sisters, you must realize God is trying to show the power through your life. You're going to understand Him in a better way. And when we have these kind of things in our life, we must remember how our God is caring for us. Then He says that to declare the name of God. So bear the glory should go to God and God alone. And when we give glory to God, then we understand the meaning of life. And when we had this pandemic, there are so many questions and so many doubts were there in the minds of the believers. I remember a youngster in our own assembly was very active in the assembly. And all of a sudden, he stopped coming for the meetings. He is not showing any interest to the meeting. And we sat with him and discussed. And he could not find answers to many questions in his own life. And one thing he brought to our attention is this. Why did all the worship meetings stop all of a sudden all over the world? God told us to remember him every Sunday when we gather together. Why is this not happening? There is one doubt in his mind. We sat with him many weeks. Then finally he realized the sovereignty of God in every situation. See, my humble message to you is this. God is trying to show his power in your life. That we may declare this great God to this world. And in our office, the workplaces, we all did the same thing. When they all come with issues and the problems, we always point their conversation to God and the way God deals with every situation. What are we learning from our life? I want to ask a question to Solomon now. The question is this. What is the conclusion of all matters? We'll come to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. There we have the answer. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, For this is man's will. Verse 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. So this is the conclusion of the wisest man ever lived on the face of this earth. What is he saying? Let me summarize that into two words. Fear God. And that's a message to you this morning. Fear God. That's what he says. Fear God and keep his commandments. So that is the one thing Solomon wanted to pass on to the generations. From all of his learning, from all of his experience, he's telling to the world, fear God. And obey his commandments. And why he's saying the reason in verse number 14. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So that's why we need to fear God. Now we're living in a world where no one fears God. Everyone is questioning God, challenging God. But God is simply saying, fear me. Because he is going to bring every work into judgment. And we seldom think about this judgment or judgment seat of Christ. Every believer, one day, we had to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When we stand, we're going to stand all alone. Our Savior is going to be the judge. He will sit there. The blood-bought children will stand one by one. No one will come there to help you. But we have to give an account to this great God who knows you in and out. That's why he said, fear him and obey his commandment. When he says something in the scripture that is not optional for you, when he gives it as a commandment, we have to obey it. It's not a suggestion. When you read the Holy Word of God, God is not suggesting something to you. He's commanding you. Do it. And our duty is to simply obey it. Whether you like it or not, we have to obey it. So that's what Solomon says to everyone. Fear God and his commandments. When you stand there, there will be rewards and awards, appreciation, and also we may be ashamed if we are not lived well. May God help us to search our own life and see where we stand at this situation. I want to ask another question to God. We are allowed to ask him. This is what I want to ask him. God, what do you require of your children? And he has an answer in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 13. And to keep his commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Solomon telling the whole world, fear God and obey his commandment. Now God himself is saying this. Fear the Lord your God and obey his commandments. And he says that for what? To walk in his ways, to love him, and also to serve him. So when we fear God, we will walk in the ways of God. And when we walk in the ways of God, we will love him. At the end, we will be serving him. God is giving different capacities and opportunities. And to serve him and to express our love towards God. And we can do that provided we fear him and obey his commandments. So the fear will turn into love towards God. And that will lead us to walk in the ways and also to serve him at our best. These are the words of God. One more question to God again. And the question goes like this. God, what is the one thing you want us to teach about children? We have a younger generation coming up. And of course, we have to pass a message to them. And what is the one thing you want us to teach the younger generation or our children? Yes, answer again in Deuteronomy chapter 10, part B, the second part of it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life they live on the earth, and they may teach their children. So that's what's the one thing God wants you to teach your children? Fear God. So Solomon says, fear God. God himself is saying to fear him. And again, he says that teach your children to fear God. Let me ask you, what are you teaching your children? What is your prayer for your children? To be prosperous in this world? To be a successful student or a person in this world? Or the richest person in this country or in the assembly? Let me tell you with all humility, you can teach your children to fear God, everything will fall in place. Here he said, you yourself have to set an example. This is not to be taught as a strict discipline, but just show that in your own family, show that in your assembly, show that in your personal life, every activities, every conversation, every deal should express the fear of God in your life. Then the children will understand what the fear of God is. So this is one thing God is asking us to do, to fear God and his word. Are we doing it? We are teaching our children many things. We are training them in different ways. But is it out of the fear of God? So this is the lesson we have to take today. The wisest person Solomon says, fear God. God himself is saying, fear God. Then he's telling to teach the younger generation to fear him. So let me define what is the fear of God. So of course, this is an attitude of respect. I just read a definition which I found interesting. It goes like this. It is a continual awareness, not an occasional one. Continual awareness that you are in the presence of a holy, just, and almighty God, and that every motive, thought, word, and action is open before him and will judge by him. This is the fear of God. I read again. It is a continual awareness that you are in the presence of a holy, just, and almighty God. So we have to have this awareness all through our life. We are in the very presence of God, whether you are in the home or out, or when with your friends, or at your workplace. You are in the presence of God. The all-searching eyes is watching you or seeing you always. Then they say, and that every motive, thought, word, and action is open before him, and he will judge by him. Every action, every word, when the very thought passing through our mind, just not revealed or expressed in action or word, the very thought. So this is the one thing we need to remember, to have the continuous awareness of his presence in our life. Every morning, we always pray to God, God, be with me. Of course, he's going to be with you as an answer to your prayer. But remember, he is with you always. And how is our life? How is our conversation? How is our thought? What are we thinking? So let me make a statement here. So the believers are committing the more number of sins in their thinking than in action. And the problem here is this. We seldom remember to ask forgiveness for the wrong thoughts passing through our minds. The wrong thought passing through your mind, then and there realize it and ask God to forgive you
will forgive.
Remember to live a holy life. You know, when you think about the fear of God, you know, where it mentioned for the first time, the book of Genesis, and that we read the words of Abraham, Genesis chapter 20, verse 11. Genesis chapter 20, verse number 11. Then Abraham saying, he is in the place called Gerar, in the country with the dealing with the king Abimelech, and he is there for a few days. And finally, he's saying, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. So this is the first mention of fear of God. And this, of course, in a negative sense. So think about this. After watching the people, observing their behavior, and finally, the statement Abraham is making, there is no fear of God. That sums up everything of that country or of the people. Just imagine God is searching your life, personal, family, and assembly life. And if he were to say this statement, that I don't find any fear in this person, I don't find the fear of God in this family or in the assembly, that's the saddest statement ever we will hear. Abraham is saying, I find no fear in this place. From the book of Genesis, I just want to present four generations before you who feared the Lord. You're all very familiar to us. We start with, of course, Abraham. Then you come to Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. It's a very familiar story where Abraham is going to offer Isaac on the altar at the end of that sacrifice. This is what God said about Abraham. Verse 12, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. Notice, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, for me. So God is testifying about Abraham that now I know that you fear God. God allowed him to do the toughest thing in his life, to sacrifice his one and only son. But he said that he did not withheld. He simply obeyed. That's what Solomon said, fear God and obey his commandments. God said the same thing, fear God and obey his commandments. Here, Abraham is doing exactly the same. He feared God. He didn't understand what exactly God is asking from him, but he was willing to give it to him because God asked for it. Are you willing to lay down the valuable things on the sacrifice just to please him because he told you to do it? Many times we hold on to the things like this. So that's why God has to snatch it away from us. But if we are able to leave everything in an open hand and he can take it any time he pleases, we will not feel sad. But we'll understand God is in action. Here, he expressed the fear of God by obeying God 100%. God was watching every moment, every situation in his life. He lay down on the altar and he took the knife. Just remember, imagine if a fraction of a second late, the story would have been different. But in the exact moment, God intervened and said, Abraham, Abraham, lay not that hand upon the lad. So that is the intervention of God in your life. Many times we think, why God is not acting in my life? Why God is not involved in my own affairs? But God is waiting for that exact moment where he can act and understand that you're completely and totally trusting in him and him alone. And his son, Isaac, chapter 31, verse 42. That's the second generation. The statement is made by his son, Jacob, 31 verse 42. It goes like this. The God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac. So here, Jacob, when he said God of Abraham normally he should say God of Isaac. He should have said the fear of Isaac. So that's a very important statement. So if our children were able to say that, my father fears God, that is the greatest statement ever we can hear. Here, son, Jacob is saying about his father, that's the fear of Isaac. You know how he exhibited or practiced that fear all through his life. We have very little record, but from that we can understand many things in connection with marriage. Finding a life partner for him. You know that one when Eliezer came with Rebecca? What was Isaac doing? He's out there meditating. Or in other words, he was on the knees for God to bring the right person in his life. God brought her into her life. And we say they have a very clean, the pure family life. Do you know how many years they waited without opting any other options for a child? 20 long years. Let me ask you a question. I know the assembly is the smartest in Dallas. Question is to you this. Who waited the longest to get a child? Abraham? Another answer? Abraham became the father at the age of 100, right? But there's another person in the Bible who became the father at the age of 500. Wow. Is it news to you? I'll give that an exercise. Just fine. His name is recorded in the book of Genesis. Four letters. Starts with N, ends with H. Of course. Okay, he waited 500 years. So what I'm trying to say here is, Isaac was willing to wait for God to answer or to meet his needs. That's why Jacob was able to say the fear of Isaac. We move on to the third generation, that is Jacob. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. Genesis 28, 16. There he is in Bethel. He is seeing the ladder up to heaven. The angels are ascending and descending. Then here he is making the statement. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. There we see, read that one. He the fear of God mentioned about Jacob. You know how Jacob's life is. So he realized or experienced that with the presence of God in his life. When he was there in Bethel, what he was experiencing, the very presence of God. So that helped him to fear him. So I read the statement before. We have to have the continuous awareness of God. Here, he realized the same. So that's why he was able to fear God. We know how God took care of his situation. He had a very tough time. But towards the end of his life, situation totally changed. The last 17 years, he was able to stay with his son to enjoy the blessings of God all through his life. Come to the last one, that is none but Joseph. Chapter 42, verse 18. 42:18, we read like this. The Joseph said to them the third day, do this and leave, for I fear God. See, Joseph himself is saying, it started with Abraham, came down to Isaac, then to Jacob. Now, Joseph, he says, this is the right time for me to take the revenge. Do you know why I'm not taking the revenge? Because I fear God. I had a lot of opportunity to commit sin in my life. Do you know why I'm not doing it? I fear God. The brothers are afraid he's going to take revenge against them. He said, I will not do it because only one reason. Humanly speaking, I have the right to do it. I have the power to do it. I will not do it because I fear God. I mean, some behavior and I mean our reactions to the situations. Joseph is saying, I fear God. When you read anyone's account in the Bible, we all see the same. They all lived a godly life just
because they had a fear of God. They feared him.
Joseph, Jabez, Nehemiah, I don't have time to explain all this. When we come to the family life, you know, we have toughest instruction in Ephesians to the wives. What is that? Submit. But to your own husband, ask to the Lord. You know what is the reason? Just take Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It goes like this, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Then verse 22, wives, submit to your husbands after the Lord. So even within the family life, submitting to your own husbands is because of the fear of God. If you fear God, this will come automatically in the families. The family life will be pure and clean. Of course, the husbands have to love their wives. And, you know, this all has to come from the fear of God. If you fear him, these things will fall in place, even in the families. We know nowadays the family life and the relationship is getting shattered day by day. Why? They don't fear God. Are we behaving in the family the way God expects? We can. And we fear God. Now, this is one prayer David made in Psalm 68, verse 11. 68, 11, David prays to God like this. Unite my heart to fear your name. So that was the desire of David. Lord God, unite my heart so that I'll fear you. And there's failures in the life of David. Of course, we know the adultery and the taking census. These are the great major sins recorded about him. Do you know what God did with him? Because of this desire, God built a temple from these two mistakes. He found a person, Solomon, and the place that Moriah, that he bought from Ornan. So the place and the person is from the mistakes of David. Why? Because he came to the person's heart with real repentance. He had the heart to fear him. The moment he realized he made a mistake, he fell in the presence of God. God valued, forgave him completely, and he used these two occasions to build a temple. God can build temples from your mistakes, provided you fear God and come to his presence with repentance. That's why Psalmist in Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear. Let me read one verse from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Peter 1, 17. That Peter is making a very serious or solemn statement there. He said, and if you call on the Father, that means about prayer when we pray, okay, Heavenly Father, we pray, okay, who without partiality judges according to the each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. You see, if you call him Father, remember what he's doing, without partiality he's going to judge each one's work. So conduct yourself and fear him. So that is what Peter says to the saints, to the world. So remember, whenever you pray, and you say, God the Father, remember he is worthy to be feared. That's what he says, conduct yourself and stay here in fear. You know what the thief on the cross said to the other thief? Luke chapter 23, verse 40. He said like this, do you not even fear God? See, you are under the same contamination. You know what led the thief to salvation? Nothing but the fear of God. So he's telling to the other thief, don't you fear him? That's few moments. He was on the cross. He realized he's worthy to be
fear. One more verse. Psalm 50 verse 21. Psalm 50 verse 21. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Verse 22. Now consider this, you who forget God, let they tear you in pieces, and there'll be none to deliver. No time to explain. I'm going to stop here. My time is up. My brothers, it's a serious thing to know that. In Psalm 128, the Psalm of Blessing. When you read Psalm 128, that talks about a family. Three generations, three positions of a person. Everything is mentioned there. And if you read carefully, we can see 10. You find 10 blessings there. You know what is a requirement to get this 10 blessings? It's asking to give you, it's giving only one instruction. That is verse number one. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walk in his ways. He's willing to give you all the blessings, provided you're willing to fear God. See, the fear of God will turn into a blessing. And that is the way God works in our life. The more you fear, the more you're blessed. Read that psalm and see. Why? Children, even the grandchildren, they're blessed just because you fear God. That's an FG to the believer, fear God. And let me bring you one word to the unbelievers, FG. Find God. If you're not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, find him today. We were singing about him, we meditated about him, and this God is the one who died for you on the cross of Calvary. Find him as a Savior of your life. Then fear this God all through your life. Let me ask the end with the question for the again. Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same God? And the answer we all should say is the answer Joseph gave to his brothers. I fear God. I just want you to search your own life, and you personally come to the presence of God. No one else is watching you, but you and your God. And if you can say that to God, God, I fear you. But I want to fear you. Many times, I led a life displeasing you. But now onwards, I want to fear God. I want to teach my children to fear God. I want to have a family who fears God. And we have this attitude and this decision will certainly bless you, because God said, blessed are all those who fear him. May his name be glorified. I thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the word of welcome. And I really glad that everyone patiently listening to me. And thank you for your love and kindness towards me. And God bless you and continue to use you. Let me close with that message again. Fear God.
Let's pray. As we sit in the light of God's presence, as we have just heard the word of God given to us this morning, may each one of us sitting here examine our hearts, examine our minds, and enable us to be what God wants us to be. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for the dear servant of the Lord who has come down to be with us this morning to share the word to us. And we thank you for these precious thoughts that were shared. We thank you, Lord, for these precious truths that you have refreshed our hearts and minds again this morning to hear what you have to say from your precious word. Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for reminding us again of the fear of God, to remember and reflect upon our great and mighty sovereign God. We remembered at the outset of this meeting what a great God we have, the God who is sovereign a God who is almighty, a God who created all things by the word of his power and holds all things by the word of his power, the vast expanse of creation. And yet, such a God humbled himself, came down to this earth, lived among men, and gave his life as a ransom for many. Thank you that our blessed Lord Jesus Christ didn't stay in the grave, but he rose again and he's alive forevermore. He will come back again to receive us unto himself. Even as we long for that day, Father, help us to be true and faithful to you through your enablement, which you have already promised, through your word, through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Help us, Lord, as we go through the rest of this meeting, rest of this day, that we abide in your presence and live for you and do your will. We continue to pray, Lord, for the dear brother, Jijo and his family. We thank you for them. And thank you, Lord, for all the other family members as they've been going through difficult times recently. But we thank you for your comforting presence, your abiding presence, and the hope and the joy that we have, that we have a God who is far above all, who has done all things well. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.